Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could take me to a petting zoo and throw me in a pit? Are pits at petting zoos? I don't know, but I'd stand right up and say, moo, that cow's cute. My guest today is a Canadian-born, UK-based comedian. They are the creator and creator. They are, oh my God, they're the creator and star of the Netflix series Feel Good. It's May. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, 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 Martin.
Hi, May.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm really good. I thought you were going to stop after they're the creator. Like, full stop. They're the creator.
They are the creator. Period. I have God on the podcast. It's May Martin.
I really want to go to a petting zoo with a pit.
I went to a petting zoo. It was called the Gentle Barn, and it is, I don't know, maybe in Santa Clarita. I don't fucking know. It's somewhere in LA, and it's really sweet. They have all these cows that you get to pet, and then they're like, the animals, they'll come to you, but if they run away from you, do not chase them. And then I was like, who's chasing animals? And then I felt myself chasing this chicken, and I was like, oh, I have to leave this chicken alone.
That's really funny. Was it a date? Did you go on a date?
Oh, no. A group of friends were like, let's go play with animals.
That's nice. I want to go.
Maybe I would go on a date to a petting zoo, but I think it's for like a very specific person.
Yes, I once went on a date to a petting zoo in London, and there was a donkey. Well, it really, when you watch how people treat animals, It's a real insight into the depths of their souls. And this person on the date was like, ew, that donkey's so grimy. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's a donkey. And she just kept being like, it's grimy. It's like, well, I don't know what she was expecting. But yeah, like it had some grime to it.
Yeah, it's an outdoor animal. A donkey would be grimy.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed if it wasn't.
How funny.
Yeah.
May.
Hey.
You were born in Canada.
Yeah, big time.
How did you make it to the UK?
I was actually dating someone who we'd been together like a year, and then she was like, I want to do a master's degree in London. And I was like, oh, I have no interest in that. But then I was like, I had a British passport and I had some family there. And so I was like, I'll give it a try. And then I went there and I was obsessed with it. And she hated it. And she went back and I stayed there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How fucking wild.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you have a British passport? How do you get a
I didn't know you could get passports for different countries.
My dad's British. I didn't just like buy one.
Okay. Now it's all coming together. It's all coming together. Yes.
Yeah.
So wait, are you in the UK now currently?
Currently I'm in LA like for most of this year. That's why I'm like really, my ears perked up when you talked about the petting zoo. Cause I'm like, I don't know this city and I need fun stuff to do.
The Gentle Barn. I enjoy it.
The Gentle Barn. You'll find me there.
Yeah, you'll find me there, right? Every Saturday morning, they will be at the Gentle Barn.
Yes.
Whenever people are like, oh, you should do this in LA, they say things like hike or a secret set of stairs. And I'm like, why is everyone trying to make me ascend? I don't want to.
Yeah. I don't want anything steep. Yeah.
No. I have a question. Okay. You have a tattoo that says oatmeal.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Because I have this wonderful assistant and she does a lot of research for me.
Cool.
Yes. She's much better than my old one who did very little research for me.
Shout out to the old one.
And even better than the old one who was just me and did no research.
A cursory Google. Yeah, I have a tattoo that says oatmeal. You want to see it?
Yes.
It says it says oatmeal twice. And I got it when I was like 16 and I thought it was so funny on the day, and then it's just been like a little bit less funny every day since.
Every day since? Yeah. That to me is deeply funny because What do I have? I have like a hot dog and a hamburger on my butt that says sticking in these buns, a bunch of fruit that says juicy, a bunch of desserts that say it's sweet, just taste it, and then a lemon that says when life gives you lemons, suck a dick. And the woman who tattooed it to me was like, are you sure?
Oh my God.
You want your butt to have the word dick on it? And I was like, yes, tattoo it away. And it gets funnier every day for me.
Well, that's the dream, is that it gets funnier. That's amazing. When did you get those?
So I've been collecting them for a while. I once fucked a man who said I looked like a race car. And
what?
I think about it often because it's like all over my butt. You know, race cars, how they have like all of the signage from the different sponsors or whatever. He's like, this is what your body looks like. And I said, thank you kindly. I'll take it. Please just fuck me harder and faster. But a chili pepper that says muy caliente. I've been just collecting them throughout the years. And then I come up with a different stupid thing to add to it every couple years.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where I'm at too. Like in my teens, I got a ton different ones that were like spelled wrong. And like, and then the mistake I made in the pandemic is I got a stick and poke tattoo kit. Never go down that route. Once you do that, you're fucked, I think. Don't get a tattoo.
Have you given yourself tattoos?
I have, and others, and like to other people. The thing is, I think I'm good at it. But once it's in your house and people get drunk and then they want to do one on you, so I've got some. I've got some bad ones. Yeah. But they're all like small, you know, whatever. I don't think I present as like a tattooed person. Like you don't look at me and think I'm a tattooed person, really.
It's funny because it's like, what does that even mean? But I understand what you're saying. Like looking at you, I was like, yeah, maybe you have one, maybe you have two.
I think I have 18 or 19.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they're all dumb and small. I have a circle on my back, and then I was dating someone who said that it looked like a witch's cauldron, and then now I hate it. I got to turn it into like a smiley face or something.
Anything else? That's a funny thing to say. That looks like a witch's cauldron. I have a bunch of stars on me, which I think date me a little bit. I feel like everyone in their 30s has stars on them.
One for each member of NSYNC. Yeah. Uh-huh.
God must have spent a little more time on me.
I just watched, weirdly this morning, I went on a YouTube rabbit hole of watching like medleys, live performance medleys by NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys of like all their hits. I mean, they're so good.
That's a fun rabbit hole to fall down. The last rabbit hole I fell down, what was I looking up? Well, I went on a rabbit hole about Terri Schiavo. You know her?
No.
She was in a coma for a while and she had a husband the whole time. So I was like writing a joke about that.
No.
Because I was like, she's sleeping. How does she keep a man? Do I have to sleep too? And then, oh, I went down a Billy on the Street rabbit hole. Have you ever watched Billy on the Street videos?
Yes.
They're so funny to me. I love him just screaming. There's these videos with this woman named Elena, who's like this older woman that he like befriends, and she comes back every couple of it. Like, she's great. She's so funny.
The best. The best.
I love her. She was milking a cow and she was like, there's milk. And Billy's like, there's no milk. And she just came towards the camera going, there's milk. And I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
I mean, I could do an internet movie rabbit hole conversation right now for hours. So, like, but okay, I'll say one, which is I was just, I had like in the depths of my memory, I was like, okay, there's one Dr. Phil episode where they, him and his wife Robin, switch jobs for a day. And it was like,
pretty unethical.
Totally. But basically, he was like, Robin thinks she could do my job. And Robin's like, you couldn't do my job as, you know. And then so he went to the grocery store and then she hosted his show. And he was like playing up that he's this like dumb man who doesn't know what vegetables are. And it was so staged. And like, he's like, what is broccoli? And then he like purposefully knocked over all these apples and he goes, apples, you got to watch
that. That is pretty funny.
And then meanwhile, Robin, like Ace, is hosting his show. But at the end, you're like,
write this down. Dr. Yeah. Phil.
But it really is crazy, the stuff we grew up watching and how like sexist it is. And like,
yes.
Right.
I was watching a clip from Oprah. This wasn't sexist. It was like rather racially charged. And I was like, isn't it 4 p.m.? How is everyone saying the N-word? This is very wild. And Oprah, you're letting the whites say it? Very strange.
The 90s were crazy, I think.
Truly. Yeah. And like anything went. Like it was so, like I watch old movies. I'm like, this would never get made now.
Yeah.
This absolutely couldn't get made.
Yeah. Even I was just rewatching Old School, which I still love, but like the first joke in it is like, you're a faggot. And like, then like, you're just like, oh, I guess that was really formative for me, probably in some way.
Yeah, it's truly wild. Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
So you talk in your sleep.
Yes.
And you use an app to record what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do you listen to it? What's the app called? Because I have an app too.
Okay, mine's called Sleep Talk.
Oh, mine's not called Sleep Talk.
Really?
I think mine's called the Snooze Zone. No, that's not it. Oh, no, it's called Snore Lab. Oh, because I was recording, because I snore.
Uh-huh.
So I was recording it. Does this record, so mine only records chunks. Does yours record the whole night?
Mine records the whole night, but it's only activated by sound. And then in the morning, you listen back to all your farts and snoring and talking. And I'm endless, like, I don't shut up. And I'm so upset always. Like,
oh no, what are you saying?
It's so, should I play you some?
Yes.
Okay. The embarrassing thing is that it's like such an unfiltered version of me that I sound like Judi Dench. Like, because I'm not at all trying to be like a cool stud. So I'm just like, oh, mom, I'm angry at you. Like, it's so crazy.
That's very funny.
It's humiliating.
I moan in my sleep.
Moan? In what way?
I go,
hey, that's nice.
Or I go, There was one night when I went, everything's so hard.
Oh my God.
And then continued to moan. And I don't, and sometimes I moan on planes and flight attendants will be like, well, you're having a good time. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my God. Moaning, that's nice. If I was sleeping next to someone who's moaning, I'd be like into it, I think.
I don't think you would. Nobody I've ever slept next to has been like, this was fun for me.
Yeah. I slept great. Okay, this is me saying, because it like lists, so I've got them all listed of like all the recordings.
Oh.
So this one is, I haven't listened to this in a while. This is the hatred in my eyes. That's what I'm saying.
Oh no.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
The hatred in my eyes.
And then you hear someone shushing me. The hatred in my eyes. It's so intense.
Wait, that's really funny. The hatred in my eyes. Shh.
Yeah, I know.
There's no hate there.
Oh, this is a fucked up one. Okay. I like this one. It sounds like I'm some like medieval queen or something. And I'm saying to like a betrayer, I go, this is a rat. Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
This is a rat.
Like, what? It's not hot, I'll tell you that
it's
much.
It's pretty funny. Like, I very rarely do I have like full fledged words that I'm saying. It's just like a lot of moaning, and then sometimes like no, or yeah. Oh, I go mm-mm.
You're watching bad stand up in your dreams,
maybe, or maybe I'm trying to write jokes and it's like mm-mm, that was not good. That one's even worse.
I sound so lucid. That's what's scary, and I think it, sleeping next to me is really scary because I sound. And I wake up with no memory of the dreams usually.
Are you well rested?
No. Wake up exhausted.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'd need like to be
like a sleep study.
I need a couple weeks of just unconsciousness, I think, just to catch up on years.
Yeah.
Are you tired all the time?
I'm tired so much of the time. I've been working two jobs where one is like night shoots and then the other one is daytime.
Oh, cool.
So it's just like
that should be illegal.
It should be illegal, and technically if it was the same production it would be, but since it's different productions and they both allowed me to do the other project, I'll wrap at like 2:30 in the morning or like 2, get home, and then have to be at the other set at 6.
Oh fuck.
And they told me that they would talk to one another, and I was like, nary a person spoke. Oh. This is truly wild. This is so mean, to the point at what at the night shoot, I had to say to the AD, I was like, this next setup, you don't see my, like, there's a world where we don't see my face. Can we please have my stand-in lay there and you can send me home because I have to be at work at my other job in 3 hours? And he was like, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, go do that. And I was like, ah! So yeah, I'm not well rested.
No, this is like, I feel like in old Hollywood, this is like how they treated Judy Garland. They'd be like, wheel her out, keep her performing, pump her with like amphetamines.
Give her more Adderall and then we'll fucking put her to sleep with some Ambien. And then she's going to have to do it all over again every fucking day. Yeah, sometimes I feel like that. I just got back from, or not just, I went to Comic-Con and boy, oh boy, was that fucking exhausting.
Yeah, that would be surreal if you're exhausted too. And then there's like... aliens walking by you, and
I was just that much more tired. Have you ever been to Comic-Con?
No, my image of it is like from movies where people go to Comic-Con.
It felt like a movie. I arrived and I said, I knew there'd be nerds. I did not know there'd be this many nerds. It was as if central casting was like, get me all the nerds you can get. And then they fuck. There was a couple nerds who were like half naked and these like sexy cosplay things. There was like this like naked alien and like Indiana Jones like holding hands. And I was like, they're going to go fuck. And I wonder if they're going to role play while they fuck. This is exciting. I love that the nerds are getting it on.
I don't know why it didn't occur to me that like, of course, they're all fucking. It's so horny. I didn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
So horny.
I think nerds have the best sex lives of any of us because they're like not embarrassed or inhibited to be like, yeah, I'm into elves. And like,
yeah. I'm into elves. Sometimes I wear a butt plug that's a tail.
Yeah.
And I'm living my best fucking life. Sometimes I wish I had more freedom like that.
What's stopping us? Maybe I don't think I'm a fan enough of anything to like also incorporate it into my sex life.
Yeah, I don't think I am either.
Like, I'm trying to think if there's maybe in my teens, like Buffy, I would have done like a Buffy thing if I'd been like a sort of confident teen, but those days are gone.
Were you not a confident teen?
Well, I was really not. And then I started doing comedy when I was like 14, 13. Mm-hmm. And then, but I wouldn't say I was confident. So I was like getting up and doing stand up, but I was still like, you know, full of self-loathing.
Wait, you were doing stand up at 15. Wait, would you say 14?
13, I started doing improv and sketch and stuff. And then, stand up right after. And then I dropped out of school when I was 15 to do it full time. So then I was like not confident, but I was addicted to cocaine, so that is fake confidence.
There you go. Yeah.
Which counts as confidence for a few hours before the hell begins.
15 and doing coke. Honestly, you're too cool for Comic-Con. That sounds terrible. What a terrible sentence to say. I'm fully just kidding.
I should have been at Comic-Con. That's like what my soul is at Comic-Con, and I was just fighting so hard against it.
Wait, that's so wild to be like 13, 14, dropped out of school, doing coke, doing stand-up. Were you, like, traveling doing stand-up? Where were you doing stand-up?
Just in Toronto. And then when I dropped out of school, I started working in the box office of Second City, like the, and so I was mostly around there. And then I got kicked out of my house when I was 16 and then banned from Second City for doing drugs. So it was all like a real like whirlwind, like it all happened so fast in a few years.
Oh, how wild.
Yeah.
So where does one go if they get kicked out of their house and then can't hang out at an improv theater?
Exactly. Exactly.
Where'd you go?
I moved in with like an older man, a comedian, you know.
Fair. If you don't want to talk about it, yeah. I get it. Sounds pretty wild.
Like a 28-year-old who was in some ways like really took care of me and in other ways did the opposite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's lots of like nuance to these things, but no, it was not good. But then, yeah, when I was like 20, I got my shit together.
That's nice.
And then moved to England like shortly after that.
How old were you when you moved to England?
Like 22.
Oh, so like you literally are like, you watch a movie and they're like, I need a fresh start. And they just like wake up an hour earlier. You were like, no, I need a fucking fresh start. I'm going to wake up in a different country.
Yeah, literally. Like I remember being on the plane and them closing the plane door. And it felt like I was in a zombie movie. And I just was like, I just made it. And I like, I'm going to survive. And then I've been there for 12 years.
I like that you ended up somewhere absolutely fresh because I'm scared of shit like that. Like, yes, I lived in New York, moved to LA, but New York was so close to home that it didn't really feel like a move. And then when I moved to LA, I knew people in LA. So it didn't, again, it was far away from home, but like knew people. So it didn't feel like this scary new thing.
Well, I think I was lucky I moved to London in a relationship like that. I don't think I would have been brave enough otherwise. And she was older and sort of organized and like made it all possible. But yeah, to me, New York and LA are super intimidating. I think that's brave. That's cool.
Thank you. I loved New York in a way that I was like, I'm the main character here. The city revolves around me. Yeah. And that's literally how I operated. Truly, like, just this like
you have to do
insane
that.
Person scampering around New York.
You know, it's a fun game. Next time you're at like a party or like a house party or something, just look around and be like, who's the main character in this movie where this scene is servicing their narrative? Like, you know what I mean? And you find someone like sat in the corner and you're like, oh, we're all in the scene of their life. In this movie.
Yeah, they're the main character. They're very sad, very upset that we're all here.
Yeah,
we should go. I went to my friend's kid's birthday party a couple weekends ago. She was turning one. I was running late. I can't remember what I was doing at my house that caused me to be so late, but I arrived with 3 minutes left in the party.
Oh my God.
And I walked in and my friend looked so tired. She was red from being out in the sun. The baby was red from being out in the sun. Her husband was tired looking. And I was like, hi. And she was like, Nicole, I'm so happy to see you. And I was like, okay, here's your wine. I will respect that your party ends in 3 minutes. And she was like, you don't have to. And I was like, I will. I stayed there for a total of 12 minutes. And I felt like I like corralled people to leave so they could like go take a nap and like bathe the baby.
Bathe the red baby?
Yeah. She needed to go inside so badly. I was like, I'm the main character here.
Yeah. But that's right. To have someone arrive and corral people to leave is awesome.
I was like, it's the least I could do. If I show up late, I can try to get the people to come with me.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, don't invite me to your parties. I will be very late. Real quick, Meg, we have to take a break. See Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
Bebop, boobop, we're back, May.
Yes.
Okay, so do you think you're like a serial monogamist, or do you jump from relationship to relationship? And when was your first relationship?
All good questions.
Thank you. I asked like four of them. Let's see which ones you remember.
First relationship? Well, I mean, I remember being like 13 and listening to that song from Armageddon, like the Aerosmith song.
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Exactly. And being like, well, I guess this is about me and Jamie Griffin, who I had like never kissed, but we would hold hands a lot and like he would get a semi and stuff. And so I fully was there. I had like a lot of boyfriends when I was 13. Mm-hmm. But then first like relationship, you know, probably some older comedian, unfortunately, when I was like, you know, 15. Yeah. And I was like, this is normal and cool and great. And this guy is such a legend because he was in a beer commercial and he has money. And and then you get to be the age that those guys were. And you're like, oh, wait, what would I want to talk to a 15-year-old about?
Yeah. I have no idea what I would talk to a 15-year-old about. I'd be like, school good?
Yeah. Like,
do you still have periods where the bell rings and then you go to a different class? Like, what is it?
Totally. Yeah, so maybe that. And then I had a nice, you know, I'd say my first like adult relationship was from 20 to 25. I was with this amazing woman and we moved to England and I was like, you know, I just got out of rehab and I just like turned my life around and she was just so like together and great. And that was like rewriting a lot of like bad habits I'd learned, you know.
5 years is such a long time. And then I think about people who've been with the same person for like 20 years. And I'm like, boy, oh boy.
I don't know if we're meant to do that.
How?
I know. I'm really like, honestly, I don't know if you have like a really clear theory on love and relationships. But mine changes every day. Like I don't now everyone we know is in like open relationships. Like I really don't know what human beings are meant to be doing. I think it's just whatever fits for you, I guess. And it's changed so much for me over the years.
I think it is whatever fits. And I have said in the past, probably on this podcast, I don't think I could do an open relationship because I'm a very, I guess I get jealous, but then also it's like, what are you jealous of? If this person wants to be with you, they want to be with you. And then when they don't want to be with you, they're with somebody else. I don't know. I don't know how I'd handle that. But also, I've never been in like a relationship before. So like, I don't know how I would handle that either.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I used to be really like jealous and really a serial monogamist. And then, just in the past few years, I've been like, I think all it takes is knowing one couple who really are amazing at being open. And you're like, oh, cool. Like they're... So I was dating a couple and they were so cool and they still are. They're married now and they're like, that was pretty eye opening because they really love each other, but they have total freedom. And they're just like, well, let's say you're in a relationship and then you meet someone who you want to sleep with really badly and it's like forbidden and you guys are like flirting, but you're like, oh, then you might end your relationship just to fuck that person and then be like, oh, it's not that good. So in a way, just getting it out of your system might be better.
Yeah. And I guess we as people need to learn that, like, just because something new and shiny comes along doesn't necessarily mean you want to like leave your old thing. You just want to experience a new shiny thing.
Totally.
Okay. Have you watched The Ultimatum on Netflix?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
So in theory, I'm like, this sounds good. But in practice, I was like, this is messy. So
it's
like,
so
you
fucked.
Leave your partner to live with somebody else as like your partners for 3 weeks. Of course you like that person better.
Of course, of course.
You're still in your honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And they're on their best behavior and they haven't shown you their true colors and shit. And then you have to go back to your old partner. It's like, oh boy, this whole thing. Or you're like, well, thank God I'm used to you.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
Yeah. I follow all of those people on Instagram, all of those contestants. Oh, I'm like so invested in their futures. I was a crazy.
Well, Colby and Madeline, I know they had their baby.
Oh my God.
Who, Randall and what was Shanice? I think they broke up.
Oh, they did?
I think.
Interesting. Interesting.
I know Zay and.
He's so hot. I can't
Zay
handle
is so
it.
So hot.
He's so
but
hot.
Zay was so poorly behaved.
Do you think? Because I think he was. I think he was like damaged and quite sweet in the end.
Maybe.
Because she was pretty cold to him originally.
Yes. And then immediately fell in love with the dude that she picked.
I know. And then she's like, actually, I'm bi, like, and ditched him. It's all so juicy. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, it is pretty fucking juicy. Although I really wished Nick and Vanessa Lachey asked more like juicier questions during that reunion. I was like, you're asking surface level questions.
Yes.
I need to know things like the night Madeline cried about Randall not fucking her on camera.
Yep.
Let's ask her about that. That's wild.
She is the worst drunk. Like, she's just one of those people who, like, why don't you know this about yourself? Like, that you should not be that drunk. Because she she is full personality shift.
Yeah.
Are you a good drunk?
I'm a fun drunk. So I have ADHD, and I used to love drinking so much. And I realized, because drinking is, like, a depressant, so it kind of, like, brought my brain down so I could think. And then everyone else was acting irrationally because they're drunk and they're just like affected differently. So I'd be like, ooh, they're acting more like me.
Right. Meanwhile, you're like, oh, I'm finally in the room.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
So that was funny. Like a very, very interesting thing to find out about myself, that I was like, oh, I like being drunk because it makes me feel normal.
Yeah. 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 I got diagnosed with ADHD as well, but a part of me was like, did I trick the guy into,
oh,
you know
no.
what I mean?
Yes.
I didn't mean, to, but I don't know. I grew up with so much like stigma around it and people being like, oh, it's, you know, it's not real or whatever. That then I'm like, am I making it up? But I know that it's real. I mean, with my friends who have it, I'm like, yeah, you have it.
Yeah. I have a friend who knows me so well that sometimes they'll be like, hey, I'm not trying to be rude, but like, I really need you to take your medicine so we can have a normal conversation.
Oh
and I'm like,
God.
Uh-oh, have I just been bouncing around? I'm like, yes, yes, Nicole. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't really find it insulting anymore. Like, my very close friends will just ask.
Yeah.
And there's like a nice way to ask and there's a mean way, but usually they stick to the nice way. So
I was really surprised, like the symptoms of it that I didn't realize were at all connected to. Like, you always hear about people being jumping around or like whatever, but things like being late, like being like losing stuff, like that's all I do. And like my, you know, I'm messy, like things like just being like, how do people find time to do all their laundry?
Yes.
Organize their lives. Like, yeah.
It's wild to me. I have little piles of shit everywhere.
Really?
But like, I know what those piles are. And I'm like, please don't touch those piles. I'll get to them one day. I truly had a box in my dining room for, I don't know, since November. And I was like, I will get to this box.
Yeah.
And then I just moved it out of my eyesight because I was like, I'm not going to get to this box anytime soon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard.
Moving stuff out of your eyesight is a really good coping mechanism.
Kind of. Yeah. Just move it right out of my eyesight. And it doesn't exist until I open a door and I go, oh, shit, there it is.
Yeah.
Can I ask about dating a couple?
Yeah.
Were you dating both of them or one of them?
Yeah, I was dating both of them.
That's fine.
I had been friends with him for years, but we always kind of, I think, found each other hot. And then his girlfriend is bi, and then I guess she had been like, oh, I think I like May or whatever. And then they sort of approached me with that information at a party, and then we all hooked up, and we're like, oh, that was fun. And then we were like, oh, that was really fun. And then we ended up for like 2 or 3 years, like really regularly, the three of us like going on dates, and like it was really nice. It was really intimate, and it was like perfect for where I was at in my life, that like there weren't really many demands on me. You know what I mean? Like, but it wasn't like empty, weird porn sex. It was like people I really cared about, and they're still like best friends of mine. And yeah.
That's nice. And I like that you said that it was like good for where you were in your life, because I feel like sometimes in relationships, you're asked a lot. Like, people expect a lot from you. And it's like, I can't give you everything you're expecting right now.
Yes.
So it's like, how do I figure out how to get intimacy that I want and love that I want, but also get it in a way that I can reciprocate the only way I know how to at this moment?
Yes. I hate feeling like I'm letting people down. And I think the problem is when you like overpromise. Like, if you meet someone you really like and you're in that honeymoon period and you're like, let's spend all our time together. And then you're like, oh, wait, I have so much in my life that I'm doing right now and I'm pretty stretched thin and I don't. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to be like, actually, can we see each other less? Or can I like, but so I feel like being really clear from the beginning about what you can offer is good, maybe, but it's hard. Yeah.
But it's hard to even know what you can offer in the beginning.
Yeah.
I just think relationships, I was having this conversation with someone, I was like, yeah, relationships are just so fucking hard. And nobody tells you, like, people are like, love is work. And it's like, yeah, but like, not only is it work, they're actually difficult.
They're difficult. They should be applauded even when they end. Like, it's just, and also it's just, if you feel something in the moment, that's really beautiful. And it doesn't, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're so right. Do you fear, okay, what's scarier to you, needing someone or being needed?
Oh boy. I think they're both really scary. Because if someone needs me, what if I can't give you what you, or be the person that you need? And then if I need somebody, like, I don't want my feelings hurt and I don't want my heart broken and I don't want to be sad.
Yeah. I think I'd usually rather be the sad one than be the one like it's awful. Like,
have you ever broken up with anybody?
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
How do you break up with people? I don't understand that.
I'm not great at it. I'm like, you know, still learning and like, I'm sure in the past I haven't been clear enough and things like that. It's really awful. But also you're like, I guess it's hard because really the kindest thing to do is to go, let's not be in contact. I can't do this. Or I don't feel the same way or whatever. But often that's not the case. Often you're like, no, I do love you. And we just genuinely want different things, or we're, you know, in different places or whatever. So it's hard not to say in the moment, like, I really, you know, if someone's like, wait, but do you love me? It's like, well, yeah, but yeah. Really you should go, no, but what are you supposed to do? Lie?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. I am getting better at, yeah. Yeah.
But that also tough.
I've been broken up with, and I know that the easier thing is when someone is really firm and clear, but it is hard. And that, I know that that makes it more possible to have a friendship later, but I don't know.
Do you believe in being friends with someone you were intimate with later? Like, after you've broken up?
Yeah, I'm friends with so many of my exes, and yeah, totally, I do.
I think I don't have any exes. I've only had people I've dated for like a couple months and then like moved on or whatever, so like we weren't even friends to begin with.
Yes.
But I like was taking stock of the relationships I've been in, and I was like, or like not relationships I've been in, like people I've dated. I'm like, most of these people I never hung out with sober.
Right.
So like I don't actually know anything about them, so like I wasn't friends with them to then want to be in a, I was like, I wanted to be in a relationship with people I didn't know.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, in that case, I think you have no obligation to be friends if you don't want. But if, yeah, but like, yeah, I have some really good friends, I think. Yeah. If you ask them, they're like, I fucking
hate
them.
They're like, I don't know them. I don't know me at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, according to you, you grew up in a liberal utopia in terms of sexuality, and you have parents who were hippies who gave you a lot of freedom. Do you think that has colored who you are today, or do you think you've gone in a different direction?
I think it totally allowed me to be totally myself. I mean, I probably have exaggerated in the past, like, what hippies they were and how much of a liberal utopia. But they definitely, like, I never had to come out to them because they never, like, assumed that I was straight to begin with. So they were, it was like, they always just in their language, it's such a simple thing to do with kids to be like, do you have a person that you're dating? Instead of being like, do you have a boyfriend? Like, you know what I mean? And then, yeah, I'm sure it has. I think they're really into, I mean, they're still together and they're pretty codependent. And I think they don't want that for me, maybe. I think they really want me to be like prioritizing myself, maybe, recently, especially. And I don't know if that's good or bad for me to like absorb. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, they're cool.
So, okay, they don't want you to be codependent. But do you want to be codependent on someone? I don't think codependency is that bad.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. There's something beautiful about it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing where it's like, I need that person to exist, but it's like, no, that person just does some things for me. I do some things. We meet each other halfway and do things that the other person needs. I think that's sweet. But when it's like, I can't fucking do anything on my own. Like, I watch My 600-Pound Life, and some of those people are very codependent and literally can't, like, depend on someone to survive. Yeah. That I don't think is very good. That's pretty bad.
Totally. And it just depends what you're up to and what you're looking for. Like I'm so ambitious right now in a way that's probably kind of gross, but, like, I just don't like the idea of getting a work opportunity, for instance, and having to... The first thought I think is, oh, I hope my person's not pissed off. I'm going to be away. Or like, oh, how am I going to make this work with my relationship? Like, I mean, ideally, you're in a relationship where they're like, yeah, whatever, do it, have fun. But I've just been in previous things where it's like, I have to, rather than being like, oh my God, I got this great work thing, I have to like think of a way to break it to the person to be like, okay, we're going to make it work. I got this thing. You know what I mean?
That is a thing because... Yeah, I've never in my whole life ever had to like answer to somebody to be like, oh, I'm gonna go away for 2 months to work on this thing. Yeah. Is that fine? Yeah, like I don't even know how you ask that.
Yeah, and I also have a hard time let's say you're doing like a comedy festival or something. You just want to be present, and even the socializing is sort of work in a way, and you're like, I just want to be in my, I don't want to be like, oh, and then, you know, on Wednesday, we should find a nice restaurant to go for dinner. It's like, no, I want to eat chips with like weird comedians. I don't know. Which is bad. I don't know.
I think there's a happy medium.
There is.
But then also, I don't know if there is like a you can have it all type deal. You know what I mean? I think it's like you do have to choose. It's like, do you want to be in this relationship or do you want to... just be a single person doing comedy. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
I don't know. Shit's hard.
But I guess the dream is you find someone who is equally independent and busy and you guys just get it and you meet up when you can and you spend time together when you can. And they're like just super excited for you to be doing your thing and vice versa. Mm-hmm. That's the dream, right?
It is the dream. But who fucking knows if that's out there? Real quick, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/date me.
rules and restrictions may apply.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from BreezeLine. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at BreezeLine.com.
And we're back, May. Are you on any apps at all? Wait, are you currently single? Is this, are you? No? Yes? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Fair.
Yeah.
Do you meet people in person or on apps?
In person, yeah. I got kicked off of Hinge.
What?
Because they thought people were reporting it. They thought it was a fake account. So I got kicked off Hinge, and then I emailed Hinge and was like, it is myself. And they were like, no, sorry.
Yeah. That's wild. That happened to another friend of mine who's a comic. They got kicked off Grindr.
Really?
Yeah, because they thought someone was catfishing them. And I was like, wow, says a lot about me. I've never been reported, and my accounts are just fine.
Are you on Raya?
I am on Raya. Famously took me 2 years to get on Raya, but she's there. And, you know, a lot of Australian DJs. It's a very curious place.
It's not what you want it to be. You want to see.
No.
Even just for jokes factor, you want to see, you know, Courtney Love and sort of interesting people on there. But it's always Australian DJs.
There's nobody interesting. And then a lot of people take themselves very seriously because it's like a MySpace page. You get to pick a song that like goes with your pictures.
Yeah.
And some people pick these songs where I'm like, oh my God, like, what is this? What?
Yeah.
Like unironically drops to Jupiter. I'm like, what are we all doing? Like, oh, what's happening?
The unironic drops of Jupiter is so specific. And also on Hinge, like when people are answering their questions on Hinge,
yes,
and the lack of like any sense of humor is crazy. Of just like, what's your dream? Just to be having a nice meal on the beach. It's like, really?
Yeah, that's all you dream of? That's pretty attainable.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do the apps really. But it's hard to meet people in person. But also, I think I present as very like vulnerable on stage. And I get a lot of people like after shows, sometimes people feel like there's an open door there because I'm approachable, you know?
Interesting. That doesn't happen to me. Sometimes I'll do a meet and greet and someone will be like, do you want to have a threesome with me and my man? And I'm like, not one day in my life. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because I do talk about sex a lot on stage and whatnot. And I feel like people, either they're like, she's very open, or they're like, she seems desperate and I should help her out. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Would you hook up with a fan, do you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would. And I have. I did a show in Houston where I can't remember how I got on the topic. Well, I don't know. Sometimes I just ask. I was like, are there straight men here? And there was one. And then
one.
I was like, let's fuck. And he said, okay. And then he slid into my DMs. And I took him back to my hotel room. And it was great.
What? That's amazing.
But it's only happened one time in the thousands of shows I've done.
Okay, but you have to keep doing it now. You have to keep asking that question. Because
who's straight here and who will fuck me? And if you don't, do not raise your hand. And I'm okay if there is nobody here today. I haven't been doing shows as of recent. I've just been like a little too busy and overwhelmed. Have you been performing a lot?
I've been doing show, like a monthly show at Largo in LA.
Okay.
But I'm still fine, like getting to know the city. So I haven't been doing many like sets. Oh, I was touring a bit. I did. Mm-hmm. I was in New York a bit. And yeah.
Do you live here in the States now? Or are you going, or do you maintain a home overseas in London, England? I don't know if you live in London.
Yeah.
In the UK.
I'm really bad with money. So I'm paying full rent in London.
Uh-huh.
Paying for an Airbnb here, like fully hemorrhaging money, can't afford it, kind of panicked, but don't want to lose, like don't want to sublet my apartment, like just didn't want to pack up my stuff. But yeah, I'm slightly concerned. And I don't drive, so I'm taking Ubers everywhere.
Oh no, man.
I know.
Wait, why don't you drive?
I've never had the skill or desire. I don't know. You don't have to in London, really. And here I'm really stuck. I really need to learn.
Mm-hmm. It's easy. At least I think it's easy, but also I hit cars all the time.
Really?
Especially when I'm parking. Yeah. That's what bumpers are for. You tap, 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 tap. Great, I'm in the spot. But sometimes when I'm driving with people, they get real mad and they're like, you can't just hit cars and leave them in a hole. I'm like, yeah, but there's no damage. I didn't, like, I'm not scratching cars.
Yeah, you just tap, tap, tap.
Tap, 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 and everything is fine.
Yeah.
I will put my car in the tightest of spaces. Really? Because I'm like, if they hit my car, it's fucking fine. It's a lease. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're convincing me. I do need to. If I'm allowed to tap, 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 then I could do this.
Technically, I don't know if you're allowed to, but you can make up the rules of the road as I do.
Yeah, I'm scared of getting on those like highways. Like, yeah.
Merging is psychotic. It is very hard to do. And I don't think the lanes are long enough.
I think I would suit like a skateboard. Like, I think I look like someone that might skateboard. And if I could just get around LA on a little skateboard or something.
Probably. Or like one of those bird scooters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wait, when you meet someone in real life, are you hitting on them or are they hitting on you?
Well, I will say the dynamic that I like probably is me being like, oh, please, please talk to me. Like, that's hot to me. Yeah. So I guess that's why I haven't really, like, after shows and stuff, that dynamic doesn't really work for me when people come up after shows. So yeah, my dream is that I'm hitting on them for sure.
Okay.
Or that there's a mutual, I mean, ideally a mutual spark, like a little prolonged eye contact. You know what I mean?
I never know if people are actually hitting on me or being nice to me.
Yeah, that's the age old dilemma.
Very confusing. I'm like, am I in love or are you just a friendly person for today?
I think it's literally all you have to do is 2 seconds more eye contact than you would do with a normal person. And then you know. If someone does that, it's on, I feel. Because really, we don't really look at people in the eye most of the time. You do fleetingly and then you know, but if someone, you're talking to someone and they lock in, not in a creepy way, but I feel like that's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like in a way where they're like, I think I want to know more about you. And you're like, oh my God, do you want to know more about me?
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, exactly. Okay, well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know, dating's so fucking hard. It's hard to figure out. I'm tired of it. I truly just want to open the door to my car and have somebody sitting inside and going, hello, I'm yours now.
Yes, but I think that will happen. Like, I think we're all young still. It'll happen.
Yeah, I do feel old, though, because now I have Achilles tendonitis. Ah. I, like, hurt my calf skipping when I was in Mexico.
Oh no.
I truly was just skipping with wild abandon and my body said, bitch, we don't do that. And then my calf healed, but now my Achilles heel hurts and now I have to like ice it and take ibuprofen. It's awful. I feel so old.
There's also something so sad about doing something so joyful and yes. Then your body's like, fuck you. Like, yeah, I once pulled a muscle in my back from laughing. And then no. I was like, oh, come on. And I felt really old. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. I hate being so old but young.
I know. I'm so evangelical about like, oh, we should all be like fluid and free and like open relationships. But I know in my heart that in about 5 years, I'm going to wake up one morning and be like, where are my kids and my dog and my house and my wife or husband? Like, I know that will happen. So I'm kind of like, we should enjoy now being young and alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's all just be a little sluttier and really just enjoy things.
Yeah. And nice and communicative and warm.
Yes, that is the dream, to be nice, communicative and warm. My God, that was so hard for me to say. And then slutty comes after that. Wait, you wrote a book for teens?
I did. It's for like 14 plus. So I feel like there would be nothing like, I feel like, you know, it all. It's a, you know what I mean?
Oh, but fair.
Yeah. But it's about sexuality and gender and stuff like that. But it's sort of outdated now already because things change so fast and like terminology and even how I identify has shifted. So like, yeah, I wrote it a few years ago.
Well, can you update? Do you update books? Is that a thing?
That's a really good question. I should do that. I'm sure. Yeah, people do update
right?
them.
Oh, because
yeah.
There's like different editions of books, right? When like new facts come out or whatever.
I don't know if I could justify another edition. They'd be like, but only 20 people bought the first edition.
And you're like, yeah, one more person wants this book. Let them buy it with the updates.
Exactly. Yeah.
I I don't know. I don't think I identify as anything, nor do I think I ever will. I think I'm just like, I'm just Nicole living a life. Yeah. Whatever I choose, that's what I choose.
I think that's the way of the future for sure. And like even doing that book, which is for teens, and then touring it in high school, is like that generation is just far ahead. They're just like,
they are. Yeah. And they're smart. And I like how accepting they seem to be. And I say some, not all.
Yeah.
Some of them have horrific parents who like really indoctrinate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hateful bullshit, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And sometimes I'm just in my bubble and I'm like, they're all great.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Because I'll have friends who will be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to have Republicans. They're going to all die off. And I'm like, yeah, but how do we keep having them? You got to keep the cycle alive. And, you know, they have kids and, you know, I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to talk about politics, even though I brought it up. You also have a show on Netflix called Feel Good. How many seasons? Yeah. It's two seasons.
It's done now, but it's up there. It's up there for watching.
You gonna do a third season?
No, man. It's like that, the British thing of like just two seasons. It was always kind of meant to be.
Meant to be. It's like we're telling a story and we're going to close the story.
Yeah.
But in America, they're like, but I got to see everything rehashed again in a couple of years.
Yeah. 20 seasons of, which financially would be great.
Oh, so nice.
Yes. Yeah.
I should put that on my dating profiles. What is your dream? Be on a long running television show or that goes into syndication, even though syndication might not be a thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think anyone will ever like... The golden era of sitcoms and stuff was the 90s, right? And people were getting so much money.
90s and like early 2000s. They were making so much fucking money. And then when those reruns aired, making so much more money.
And it won't happen again.
Nobody's going to have Friends money from TV again, I don't think.
Never, never. We basically have to patent products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, maybe Modern Family. Maybe that was the last one of like...
Also, I guess the new thing that we can do is like, sell stuff of our own on our websites? Is that like, I guess that's new.
What do you mean? Like merch or like my stuff?
Like content. I don't know. I think people are going to start doing that.
Oh, yeah. Like Patreon, where it's like, you can watch me shower if you want. If you pay $5 a month, I won't show you any titties, but I will wash my hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people would pay for that.
I also think they would pay for that, but. That time's for myself where I giggle and tee-hee-hee.
Oh, man. I have this friend who financially dominates men. Like, she's like a sort of dominatrix, but just with these guys who go...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's like she's cracked the code where she goes, transfer me $100 today. And they're like, yes, yes, mistress.
Which is so... I want that.
I know.
Yeah, I just want to be like, give me money. And for someone to be like, yes, Nicole, I will give you money. That is what I want to do for you.
Yeah. Do you think, are you good at like, or do you find it humiliating? Like dirty talk? Like, because I feel like I like that and have that skill. So I'm like, could I monetize that?
I think I could monetize it. I think I'm pretty good at dirty talk. Because I'm not like filthy, but like.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I'm having sex, I like to tell people what I'm enjoying. And
yes.
I'd like to know what you're enjoying.
Yeah, me too. And once you start doing that, it's hard to stop doing that. Once you open the seal of dirty talk, it's like, and it escalates.
Mm-hmm. I was sleeping with somebody who I'd be like, oh, I would be like, that feels good. And they'd be like, does it feel good for you? And then they started go like, as soon as we started having sex, they'd be like, this feels really good. Thank you. And I'm like...
Oh my God, they're like anticipating the question.
Like, are you just getting it out of the way? Because I'll ask a different one later. Just to make sure that you are engaged.
Yeah, start throwing curveballs. Yeah.
When's your birthday? Should. When's your birthday? How old are you?
The best, I was once sleeping with a really great and funny guy, and we were really good friends, and he would say a lot of filthy stuff and we were like joking about it. And he was like, okay, the next time we sleep together, I'm going to say something really obscure and you won't be expecting it. And I kind of forgot that he'd said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time we were having sex at the height of the moment, like at really a crucial moment where like you want to be in the moment, he goes, tell me I'm bonkers. And I laughed so hard. I think it's laughing during sex is underrated.
I think it's underrated as well. I think it's nice, and it means you're like comfortable with that person because totally. You're like vulnerable. You're fucking naked and someone's inside of somebody or someone's rubbing on somebody, and it's like, yeah. If you can laugh, like, I think that's like really romantic.
Me too, because really you are doing the weirdest thing. Like, it's crazy to be like, oh yeah, we're both so cool, and like, it's like, no, you're doing insane things to each other.
Yeah, if you really think about it, sex is weird.
It's so weird. It's
like,
weird.
All right, I'm gonna get naked and you're gonna put your mouth on it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, what?
I'm just in different parts of me, and then I'll put my mouth on different parts of you, and then maybe you stick a finger inside me. It's wild.
So fucked. So fucked.
Well, May, do you have any advice for me on how I can get a partner?
I just think there's no way that it won't happen. So I'm like, you don't need advice. There's just no conceivable way that it won't happen. You're so charming and attractive. And it's just, you know, so I think you're doing all the right things.
Thank you.
Also, you're so busy.
I am very busy.
Yeah.
Very tired at all times, except for today. I had a voiceover thing get canceled this morning, so to sleep in.
When things get canceled is the best.
Oh, I felt so free. I was like, this is freedom.
Yeah.
Okay, May, I ask all my guests this. Would you date me?
100%.
Yeah.
100%, yeah. I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, that's my favorite. Sometimes people go, no. But here's the reason why. And I'm like, okay.
What? Okay, those people did not understand the brief.
They didn't get it. You have to just say yes. Otherwise, you hurt my dang feelings. May, we've come to the end. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Well, I'm at Largo like once a month with my friends doing weird improv and stuff and stand up. That's always fun. And just life.
And Feel Good season 1 and 2 is on Netflix. And then you're on season 2 of The Flight Attendant on HBO Max.
Yes, very much so.
So those are the things I know you're promoting. So if you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can give me 5 stars. If you send me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudateme@gmail.com, please no dick pics. My wonderful producer, Mars, has to go through it. She does not want dick pics, so no dick pics. Okay, this person said, Dear Nicole, I want to take you out to the skating rink, get you drunk and sweaty, covered in glitter. Then we'll grab an order of nachos with cheese on the side. Huh. And then when we get back to our 5-star hotel, I want us to get naked and hop in the jacuzzi, watch Sonic 2, and sip on champagne. Once we're all loosened up, we'll move into the king-size bed and roll around in tortilla chips. Oh, and drizzle nacho cheese all over your plump body. Then I will sprinkle you with a bit of cilantro and lick every inch of you until I'm center stage while I nibble that pink taco and tongue punch your dirt star until you quiver and squeal. Tee-hee-hee. I don't know if I've ever heard of a dirt star.
I have so much to say, but yeah. Okay, yeah. I've never heard Dirt Star, and I'm going to be using it.
Dirt Star is truly wild. Wait, Dirt Star, it's like, is it a star? I guess, yeah, it's like a star with a lot of points if you look at a butt.
It's not hot as a
no,
phrase.
No, it sure isn't. And if someone to me, if we were having sex and they're like, can I lick your Dirt Star? I'd be like, you have to go home. You can't. You can't do anything.
And there's too many sort of nachos involved in the whole date. It's like, that's a constant
thread. A lot of cheese and cilantro.
And the cheese on the side to begin with weirded me out. I was like, just put it on the nachos. Like,
just put it on the nacho. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that message. And May, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have a website?
I think I do. I think I have maymartin.net. Is that old school?
Yeah, it's really funny. I think so. Maymartin.org. No, I'm kidding. It's .net.
Yeah.
Which is better than an org, I think. Or maybe orgs are government. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Wait, no, what?
No, nothing. I was just, humiliating. I was going to say I'm on Instagram. It's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing. Find May on Instagram. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by a
Oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Did you know that a recycled aluminum can uses 95% less energy to create than making a new can from scratch? That's a lot of saved energy. It goes to show, the more we recycle, the better it is for our environment. When you recycle right, it really makes a difference. Head to recycleright.org for all the information you need to learn about the benefits of recycling in Franklin County. That's recycleright.org.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.